here tonight and not a Christian to know that you don't have to wait for a special event to obey the gospel of Jesus. The call of God goes out from His throne to the whole world through His gospel day or night to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and to act on that faith. To repent of your sins, to confess that He is the Son of God before men as He's commanded, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. To have His blood wash your sins away, and for Him to add you to His church, the body of the saved, over which He is the head and of which He is the Savior. You can be saved tonight in God's way, according to God's gospel, and we urge that of you and encourage that you'll respond to His call tonight to be saved by His grace through your faith. And that really is what we want to discuss some tonight, as we have entitled the lesson, By the Grace of God. And Titus 3, that Rich read for us a moment ago, speaks of the grace of God, of God's goodness and kindness, of His mercy, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, and that justified by His grace, we are heirs of eternal life. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of misunderstanding about God's grace and about works. Grace is a gift. The word means a gift that is undeserved, that's not merited, that is freely given. And so, if we misunderstand grace, we're very often going to misunderstand works as well. As we see religiously, we see that idea. And that's some of what we want to talk about tonight. You see, grace and works that are designed to merit salvation do not coexist. If there are any works out there that man can do to try to earn or merit his salvation, then God's grace does not coexist with that kind of work. God's favor, unmerited, cannot coexist with man earning the salvation. And so Titus 3, Paul acknowledges, not by works of righteousness which we did, but according to His mercy He saved us. So clearly grace and both kind of works don't go together. But grace and faith that is at work, works of faith, do coexist in the Word of God. And we are taught that we are saved by grace through faith. And that is an aspect where they do come together. So works of merit, we don't earn our salvation. And let's note Romans 11 and show that grace and works of merit or attempting to earn our way to heaven don't go together. Now, Romans 11 and 5 says, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, this harkens back to Isaiah, the 11th chapter, when God would set forth His hand a second time to gather unto Himself a people. Through the gospel of the Christ, God is gathering people unto Himself, a remnant according to the election of grace. God is chosen by His grace through faith to save people in Christ. That's what he's referring to. But now note, he says, if by grace, if this election, this God's choosing of the saved, he says, if it's by grace, then it is no longer our works. That is, works of merit or works of the law. That's his context in Romans, the book of Romans. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. You see, you can't have grace and works to try to merit salvation. Those don't go together. If it's by grace and it's not by works, otherwise grace isn't grace anymore. But if it is of works, if you're justified by works, or as Paul says, Romans 3:24, by works of the law, he said, by works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if you are justified by works of law, law keeping, earning, meriting, it says no longer of grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. You see, so works of merit, works whereby you could come before God and salvation would be a debt owed to you, does not coexist with grace. Now, we acknowledge that. The Bible teaches that. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a gift from God. We do not earn it. We do not merit it. We do not deserve it.
And yet, at the same time, the Bible talks about works of faith. For the grace of God has appeared, or the grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared, depending on your translation, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. The Bible says God's grace has appeared, has made itself available to all men.
And it teaches us how to live. That's action. That's activity. That's living a life of faith. Now, join that with Galatians 5 and in verse 6. Galatians 5 and 6 says, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" So works of faith are nothing other than obeying the truth. And he says, that is running well. That is a life well lived. Now, back up to verse 4. Because you see here, he says, "You've become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you've fallen from grace." So if you attempt to be justified by law, by law keeping, you're going to fall from grace. See, it's no longer grace. Then you think God owes you. But as the Word of God teaches, we've all sinned. None of us can earn salvation. So you fall from grace. And yet, when you're running well, you're obeying the truth. So you're in grace when you're obeying truth. You see that? You fall from grace if you're trying to bind circumcision, trying to keep the law of Moses, trying to be justified by the law. You fall from grace. Those don't coexist. But when you're running well, you're obeying the truth, you're in grace rather than falling from it. Mark it down, therefore. If someone tries to connect or separate being in grace from obeying God, they're violating the Word of God. You see, we're in grace, we're running well, and we obey the truth. And we're not earning anything.
We're in the grace of God. Now,
a lot of false doctrines about grace, and what they do is this: they give comfort and they give cover to sin. Comfort to the sinner in sin and cover to people to help them feel okay in the sin that they're committing. I'm going to elaborate upon that in a minute. First of all, look at Jude verse 4. In Jude, the fourth verse, it says, "Certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They turn God's grace into lewdness or lasciviousness. By their doctrine, by their false doctrines, they are corrupting the grace of God." But in that corruption, you see, there, and in the denial of Jesus Christ, they might well have been trying to convince the people, hey, this is what grace is really all about. Now, we hear it today. Let me illustrate. We hear people talk like this: "You can never be good enough to earn yourself a home in heaven." Now, first of all, nobody here ever said you could. Nobody here ever says you can be good enough to earn yourself a home in heaven. You can't. I can't. None of us can. All of sin and fall short of the glory of God. We're sinners, condemned in sin. We need the gift of salvation. So who said you can never be good enough to earn yourself a home in heaven, except those who turn right around and give a false comfort to people by saying sin no longer affects your eternal life in Christ? That's exactly what goes on in the doctrine of once saved, always saved, and this doctrine of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, the evangelical message will on the one hand say no one can earn themselves a home in heaven and turn right around and comfort people who have sinned by saying that's not going to affect you. You have eternal life. And there's nothing you can do that's going to take that away from you. That's a lie.
That's a false doctrine. And it goes to the heart of understanding or misunderstanding grace. It gives false cover to sin. We hear things like nobody's perfect and everybody sins.
What that does is give cover. It turns the grace of God into lewdness, into lasciviousness. It takes something that is holy and good and kind and merciful, God's gracious gift of salvation, and perverts it into convincing people that they have it, and because they have God's grace, then from that point on, nothing they can say or do is going to change that they'll go to heaven when they die. You can't fall from grace. Even though Galatians 5:4 says people can fall from grace, that escapes them.
You see, false doctrines about grace. Truth is, sin brings death.
Sin brings death to the person who's outside of Christ, and when the person who is in Christ turns to sin, it brings death upon them too. Romans 6, 21 through 23. See the point with me, please. Romans 6, 23, 21. What fruit do you now have? What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. That is, the end of sin is death. So what was the benefit of sin? It just brought death. But now, having been set free from sin, now that takes you back to verse 18, they obeyed from the heart the gospel, and they were delivered from sin and became servants of righteousness. Now, having been set free from sin, how? By grace, through faith. You have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, God's gift is eternal life in Jesus to us who have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine that's been delivered. Verse 17. Now he says earlier in that text, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? May it never be so. You see, any doctrine that says because you've been saved by God's grace, sin can't keep you out of heaven is a lie. It's a devil's lie. It's a false doctrine. It gives comfort to people in sin and cover to the practice of sin. And it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. We illustrate specifically what we're talking about. Being saved by faith, by grace alone, irresistible grace. Doctrines that teach man that man is so corrupt that God has to send the grace irresistibly. That man is so corrupt, so it's grace alone that saves. Well, that applies in faith in so many verses. Now again, we're saved by grace. But Joshua 24:15 says, choose you this day whom you will serve. That's not irresistible grace, doesn't sound like to me. You choose whom you're going to serve. You want God's grace in your life today, you choose who you're going to serve. Or Jesus in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You want rest from Jesus? You want the rest Jesus gives? Come to me, he says. That's not grace irresistibly bestowed. That is one who acknowledges Jesus can grant grace. God, through His Son, can favor us with the gift of salvation, but we have to come to Him. We have a responsibility. Doctrine of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's a catchy phrase, but it does not speak to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, the doctrine says you can't fall from grace. Once you're saved, you'll always be saved, and you cannot so sin as to lose your soul. And if you do so sin, then you never were saved in the first place. How are you going to know that? People who tell you, how are they going to know that? Are they in the position of God? The truth is, he said, you are severed from Christ. You can't be cut away from Christ if you weren't first with Him. You've been severed from Christ. You who have been justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. You can't fall from something that you were not first in a position and a relationship with. The doctrine that says Christians cannot fall away is false. It's man's doctrine. It's not God's doctrine of grace. Then there's the continuous cleansing doctrine that says because you are a Christian now,
Christ's blood continuously cleanses you. And God imputes upon you the righteousness of Christ so that you, as sinful as you are, when God looks at you, He just sees the perfect life of Jesus. And He doesn't see your sin. And so you're continuously cleansed of your sin. Calvinism.
Nowhere does the Bible teach that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to the sinner. Romans 4th chapter and verse 5 says, faith is accounted for righteousness. To him who does not work, that is, i.e., earn, try to do the work of law and earn and come before God as a debt to be paid to him, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness.
Your faith is counted for righteousness. What if you sin? After God has counted your faith for righteousness
and you turn back to sin, well, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That's what He said to the Christian, 1 John 1:9. But what if I don't confess my sin to God? What if I don't repent?
Acts 8:22. Then in my sin, I will die. In my sin, I separate myself again from the good grace of God,
from the good love of God. See, the truth is, Christians stand in and rejoice in the true grace of God through an obedient faith.
Through an obedient faith. Romans 5:2 says, through Christ we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have access by faith into grace. And that is the summation of the truth of the gospel on the matter of grace and faith and works. You see, it's by faith, not by the law of Moses, but by faith that we're justified, verse 1 of chapter 5 of Romans. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through Him, also, we have access into the grace. By faith, into the grace in which we stand. Now, what is that faith? It's explained in Luke 17, verses 9 and 10. Luke 17, verses 9 and 10. The faith is explained in terms of an obedient servant to the master. Does he thank the servant? Does the master thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you've done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We unprofitable. We have not earned. We're not merited. We're not able to go before God and say, God, you owe me heaven when we obey Him. That's not the gospel. We have no standing to say, God, you owe it to me. No. We are unprofitable servants. We've done what was our duty to do. You see, we depend on the grace of God, brethren. We need the grace of God. Without God's grace, we would die in our sins. And it is that grace that has commanded us, that has taught us of God's love and commanded us, instructed us to deny ungodliness and worldly love, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It is that true grace of God that calls upon us to do what we're commanded. And not in turn say, because I obeyed the commands of God, I've earned heaven. See, that's the problem. Folks who say, no one's good enough to earn heaven, confuse obeying God with earning heaven. When we obey God, we don't earn heaven. We're unprofitable servants. We've shown our trust in our Master to be gracious to us. You see, to save us by His grace through our faith, through our trusting obedience to Him.
By the grace of God, we tie the lesson. Let's look for a few minutes at what happens by the grace of God. By the grace of God, sinners are saved.
Without God's grace, sinners would be lost in sin, and justifiably so. You know, we know this point. This is not a new point. This is the same old story. This is the gospel story of a God who made us alive when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1. It's the story of a God who, verse 4, is rich in mercy because of His great love wherewith He loved us. God loved us He was merciful toward us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We need to honor the grace of God. It's by God's grace that we're saved. God's gift. We didn't earn it. We were His enemies. We were lost. We were dead. We were sinning against Him, transgressing His will in our lives.
But by grace, He says in verse 8, by grace you've been saved. God is the source of our salvation.
He's the one giving the gift of salvation through His mercy, through His love, rich in mercy, great love, wherewith He loved us. Through faith. Now that's the sinner's faith. That's not God miraculously giving you the ability to believe. No, that's God sending a gospel, sending forth the word of His grace to produce faith in your heart, in the sinner's heart, who will hear it, believe it, and obey it. As on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, and throughout the book of Acts, the preaching of the word of His grace, the people responded to in faith to obtain salvation, the gift, to receive the gift. Not of yourselves. You see, when people heard and believed and obeyed the gospel, they didn't earn it. They didn't come before God with a meritorious expectation. God, you've got to get me heaven now. I've done what you said. I earned it. It's my right. Now that's not the attitude at all. That's not the unprofitable server, is it? See, that's how the doctrine is skewed. That's how the truth is clouded and eyes are blinded by convincing people that if you obey God, then somehow or another you're trying to earn your way to heaven. No. You're just trying to be a servant of God, knowing you're saved by His grace through your faith. Because that's what He expects of us, you see. By the grace of God, we're justified. In Romans 3, He said, having been justified freely, or freely justified by His grace, we have redemption through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at that specifically. Let's read it together. He says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by His blood. And God set forth. Here's the condition.
To be justified by grace, He says, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Justified freely by His grace, by His favor, through the redemption that's in Jesus.
So, I've got to be in Jesus, don't I? If I want to have justification freely by the grace of God, it's through the redemption that's in Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. Well, then why isn't everybody saved? Because Jesus died for everybody. Redemption is through His blood, Ephesians 1:7. Why isn't everybody saved? Well, that's where the Calvinist goes awry. He goes astray. He begins to say, well, God has unconditionally elected certain ones to be saved. You don't really have a choice. If God makes that choice, I'm going to go. See, they pervert Romans 11, 5, the election of grace. God's choice is that by grace through faith we're saved. And He's gathering His remnant based on that gospel and that truth. But Calvinism distorts it. You see, we're justified by grace, but redemption through His blood, and His blood was shed in His death, and we're baptized into His death. That's the faith part. It's not a hard concept. And when we in faith are baptized, we're not earning our way to heaven. We're not saying, now God, you owe me heaven. God doesn't owe us anything. God's extended a gift. Do you want the gift of salvation? That's the question. Do you want heaven? Do you want to be redeemed from your sins? God made it available to you. To you. And to me, sinners. Who transgressed His will. Violated and worthy of death. But by grace through faith, still saved you. You see, that faith is trust of redemption through His blood. It's in Jesus Christ. And Romans 6:3 says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. In Christ, we're baptized into Him, that's where the redemption is. Why? Because that's where the death is. That's where the sacrifice is made. That's where the cleansing power of the death of Jesus is found. We're justified by grace, but not by grace alone. By grace, it's freely given to us. But you see, He expects us to meet the condition to receive the gift. It's still a gift. We accept the gift, you see, by faith. Look at that verse again, Romans 5.
See, I want us to understand that when we obey God, we're not earning anything. Therefore, having been justified by faith, that is in opposition to justified by the works of the law, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, Romans 3:24. They couldn't keep the law of Moses and be justified. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. So now they couldn't try to say, we're going to keep Moses' law and we'll be saved. Well, we already forfeited that. We've already sinned. And we can't extricate ourselves from our sin. But we're justified by faith. That is, by the gospel. Remember Romans 1:17? Therein, in the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith. The faith, the gospel, produces individual faith. And so now he speaks of that when he says, by faith, by the gospel plan of salvation, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. It's when we have individual faith that we have access into that grace, made it available to us through the gospel. You and I individually access it when we have faith to do His will, to be baptized into His death. Then we're redeemed, justified by the grace of God. Baptism then is a work of faith.
Not earning anything, not demanding anything. It's a work of faith. That is, it's faith at work. Baptism is faith at work. So is repentance. So is confessing our faith. So is any obedient act. It's a work of faith. It's faith that is at work to be saved by God's grace. That's what we need when we're saved at all. We need God's grace.
Look at Ephesians 1, verse 6. Ephesians 1, 6, it says that by the grace of God, we are accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1, 6. Now, we're picking up in the middle of a sentence here that really goes all the way back into verse 3. But at verse 6, he says that that being adopted as sons of Christ, as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, is verse 5, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. By His grace, He made us accepted in the Beloved.
Now, grace is only extended, it's only granted in the Beloved, in Christ. He says, by God's grace, we are made gracious. That's the word that he uses there, is to make graceful or gracious, to be acceptable.
In our sin, we are not acceptable. See that? We're not accepted in sin. God didn't accept us in sin. But by His grace, we are made accepted in the Beloved.
So God has favored us. He has encompassed us with favor in the Beloved. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, in the Beloved. We're encompassed with favor. We are made graceful.
Whereas before, we
were not graceful at all in our sin. We were alienated. But now, you see, justified, forgiven by His grace.
He goes on to say in verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace.
The riches of His grace. So again, we are only made acceptable. We are only accepted in the Beloved. If I'm not in the Beloved, who's the Beloved? That's Jesus Christ. If I'm not in the Beloved, I'm not accepted. I'm not graceful. I'm not made gracious by God's grace. I have not been favored. But if I'm in Christ, I am favored. I receive that gift. I receive that salvation by His grace. And again, how do I get into Christ? Well, I'm baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:26-27, you're all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Now, we've got to look at our obedience, our baptism in that way. We put on Christ. God made us acceptable by His grace. And so we live in the spiritual blessings of the Savior by the grace of God. When we have faith to be obedient to His call to repent and be baptized. You can do that tonight. You're outside of that grace. You're not accepted in the blood. If you're outside of Christ, you can be accepted tonight. Titus 3, that Rich read for us in our scripture readings, says that very thing, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Spirit. Grace is applied when the sinner is baptized. There's a washing of regeneration. We are born again. By the power of God, raises us out of death in the life of Him. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, then, Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Think about that for a minute. Paul was made an apostle by the grace of God. It was a favor. It was a gift God gave him. He didn't deserve it, didn't earn it, didn't merit it. Persecutor of Christ and the people of Christ, and yet Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Now, he's talking about himself and the other apostles in that context. So it's very obvious what Paul's talking about here. The grace of God that he received was his appointment as an apostle. Ephesians 4 talks about it in that respect. He gave gifts unto men. He gave some to be apostles and prophets. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. God has favored, Christ has favored Paul and favored others to be apostles. He's given other works to others. By the grace of God, I am what I am, Paul said. But I want you to note something there. It's very interesting. I want you to see in that verse, verse 10, that grace labors. Grace works.
See that? By God's grace, I am what I am, he said. And His grace told me it was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Grace labors. Grace works. That destroys that concept, that doctrine that says if you're obeying God, then somehow or another you're trying to work your salvation and you're denying grace. No, sir. Paul said, I was made an apostle by the grace of God, and that grace labored in me. Grace works. Interesting, isn't it? Now, in 1 Timothy 1:12-16, Paul, in expanding upon this, talks about his salvation by grace. And he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So here's Paul, dead in his sin. But God has counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry. He was converted, and God put trust in him to be an apostle. I was a persecutor, he said. I was a sinner in unbelief. The grace was abundant, exceedingly abundant toward me. Now, this is a faithful sin. Now, the grace he's talking about here is his redemption, I believe, because of what he goes on to say. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am chief. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Paul said, what God in Christ did to me, He does for everybody who will have faith in Him, who will respond to His gospel. He will save to the uttermost. He has abundant grace available. If you save me, you can save anybody, he said. So he's using me as a pattern, as set before me to show God's abundant grace, His abundant favor that saves us, grants us eternal life, makes us what we are,
the people of God
saved from our sins. Now, all of that, I think we need to just probably stop right there. I'm going to stop right there, and it'll be 2 weeks, I guess. And we'll come back, and we're going to present the second half of this lesson. I thought I might get to this point. We're going to study some things the grace of God does not do. It's already in your outline. We'll just pick up and review since it's been 2 weeks, you know. Got to do a little review after 2 weeks. And then we'll talk about some things that are not by the grace of God, building upon what we studied this evening. If you're in sin tonight, if you're not a Christian tonight, you're lost. You're outside of the grace of God. God's grace is available to all. That is, what His grace has accomplished is available to everybody. The word of His grace, the gospel that the apostles preached, is good news that God, in spite of our sin, is willing to save us because He loves us, because He's a God of mercy, because He does not desire us to perish. And so in the Savior, Jesus the Christ, He provides us an avenue of redemption. If you want to be saved from your sins tonight, in faith, confess that Jesus is the Son of God. The evidence is abundant. Confess your faith before these gathered here this evening and repent of your sin against God. That means change your heart toward the sin in your life. And confess your faith and be baptized then into Christ for remission of your sins. He'll raise you to walk in newness of life. He'll apply the gift. You'll receive the gift. The gift of salvation by grace through faith. You will not have earned it. Nor will you ever be able to say, God, you owe me salvation. But you'll receive the gift that He makes available in the Son. If you're a Christian, you know you've received that gift. But you know that there's sin in your heart and your life and your words and your deeds that is against the will of God. You know that you can't fall from grace. God's not going to accept you in the Beloved with stained hands. And so the Word of God says, purify your hearts, you sinners. Cleanse your hands, you double-minded and double-hearted. Yeah, cleanse yourself. Repent. Confess it in prayer to God, and He'll forgive. We urge you to come to God to obtain the gift of grace, His salvation, while together we stand. We sing.